Thank you. It's always good to come out, and I'm always excited about coming over to New York. It's one of my most favorite places in the world to come visit. I just love it. I love always coming back to America and things. And it's kind of funny because I was kind of sitting there laughing because I'm like, oh, okay, God, everyone's down on the floor. All right, what's next? I'm just like, they're all down and out. That's it. So we might not even continue, but it's funny because God kind of reversed my plans. So we were going to pray for breakthrough at the end, but it was just such anointing, wasn't it? And you know, when the anointing hits, you just got to go for it. You know, you can't just hold back. You just have to go and just be obedient to what God's asking you to do and just carry on. And it's especially important in this time and the season that we're living in to be able to flow how God's telling you to flow. And I'm going to share a little bit about Jacob, but first of all, I'm just going to say where I'm coming from, what I've been doing and that, because some of you know me and some of you don't, so it's probably most don't now, and a few know me. So anyway, so we did an evangelistic campaign here in the Kingston area about 6 years ago, I think now. It's quite some time. With the Impact World Tour, we did one in Kingston, Poughkeepsie, and Newburgh. And at that time when we were doing that, my wife's father grew terminally ill. And so I kept praying. I'm like, God, let him hold on till we finish. Let him hold on till we're finished. And when we finished our events, we returned back to New Zealand. And we spent some time there with him and then looked after my wife's mother for some time until she got on her feet and she was secure. And at that time, when we're living there, and this is all going to play out to something, so just bear with me, all right? So there's a purpose to all of this. I'm not just chatting. You understand that, don't you? Yeah. It's good having Steve here because at least there's someone that kind of speaks my language and understands my terms and everything else. And also, he's prepared you for when I come from different times that you know that I have an accent that's different than yours, and you don't tune out and think, oh, he's got an accent, you know. And then they don't hear what anyone has to say because you're too busy concentrating on the accent. So it's happened. So anyway, so the Lord brought a really good friend along my path, and so we set out together to actually form a ministry in New Zealand called Encounter Events. And the goal of Encounter Events was to have an encounter with Christians and then encounter with non-Christians, and to actually look at how we can actually present the gospel in a way that non-Christians can come along and can relate to. But we also wanted to bring the prophetic out into the world as well. We actually, our dreams and our goals is to have large stadiums and to have wonderful moves of God, prophecy, the whole thing going. And this is stadiums full of non-Christians. That's what we want to do. So we're pretty excited about that. Because you know what? The prophetic actually started out that way. The prophetic actually started out as like a fair that used to go around different places. And then what happened is you got all the different people that came out, the weird ones and that. And so the church started to get scared of what was going on. And so they decided to pull it back into their four walls of the church. But in that time, the carnies came out. The carnival grew. And if you know the understanding of carnival, it's carnal, flesh. And so what God had for good, the devil came in and tried to take it away and destroy it. And so now we're on the opposite end, aren't we? Now we're actually trying to get back to where we used to be and should have been and going out into the public and doing the prophetic stuff in the public arena. And it's always exciting when that happens. So I get excited when I hear about teams that go out and doing things and then stuff that's happening over here. Excuse me. At the same time, this was all going on. My wife came to me and she said, I think it's time that we're going to start moving again. She always gets it before I do, and which is always good. And as a good husband, I've learned to listen to my wife. Oh, no, that was meant to be a joke. But no, I'm only having you on. No, I do listen to her because I'm like, okay, all right, so what are you sensing? And she's like, well, I'm sensing we should be going back to Australia, where we came from. Not born, but where we came from. So I'm like, well, okay, if that's going to take place, then I really need God to show me. Because, you know, I'm just that type of person. I made a deal with God, I'll go anywhere in the world that you want me to go. Any place, anywhere, any time. A lot of people pray that prayer but don't actually do it. But I've said to God, no, I will actually do it. But there's a condition to it, right? The condition is that you need to show me without a shadow of a doubt it's you, right? I just need to have that peace and everything else because I know God's going to be faithful to me, and he is. And so about four or five people came, and I went to different meetings, and they all started prophesying about Australia. They started saying there's green and gold over you, right, which are the colours of Australia. They started saying you're going to a place where it's a desert, actually a very dry place, and Australia's the driest continent on the earth. Right, and then they said there's rivers of water coming through it and streams and things, and then they started describing some of the cities around Australia, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm getting the message, we're going to Australia. All right, so we sold up everything we had, and this is our 30-something of move, and I'll be honest with you, it hurts. Because, you know, we make good friends. You know, we put down our roots. But the pain of disobedience is a lot worse, right? Yeah. I'm preaching to the converted. Isn't that wonderful? All right. And so, you know, and it was hard. And then when we got to Australia, my wife turns around to me and says, did we make the right move? I'm just like, oh, honey, you know. And anyway, she now knows because, I mean, it was 35 degrees centigrade, which is, I think, almost 98 Fahrenheit the other day. And it was just like, this is fantastic, you know, because in New Zealand it's very cold. And so, anyway, so moving over there. But before we go, I'm saying to God, all right, God, I'm looking at this evangelistic piece. But what I'm finding and what I found out are a couple of things when I'm working with different churches is that their program has now become the most important thing. And you can't work with anything else but their program. And so, and I've always wanted to work with the churches and that because I just hadn't always wanted to do my own thing. But it got increasingly more difficult to start working with a lot of these churches because they didn't want it. They didn't have a heart to reach the lost. Their heart has been shifted to their program for already fed Christians, all right? This is not an anti-church thing, so don't get the wrong message out of this, okay? All right? Then the other thing that happened is I noticed that there is less and less being spent on evangelism. You know, it's just not part of people's budgets anymore. And so people started coming up to me and started saying, Pete, you need to form a business. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I'm like, well, no, I'm only going to do it if God tells me to do it because, you know, I just don't want to have good ideas that are mine and then next minute, you know, it's a bad idea. And I know myself. And I'm having this time with God. You'll see where I'm coming from when I start going into the scriptures, okay? I promise you. And I'm having this time with God, and this is over a couple of months. And I'm just like, God, I know I'm meant to be doing some type of business. I know I'm meant to be getting there, and we start planning our evangelistic campaigns, and we start looking at how we reach the lost. Now, listen, the evangelistic campaigns are only one portion of it. There has to follow discipleship. It has to have a revival element to it. It has to have the prophetic working in it. It's not just a one-off thing anymore, right? It has to have a lot more elements than what we've presented to the world. Because you can't just do it, you know, carte blanche and say, okay, that's done. You know, we've preached the gospel and, you know, and hopefully they'll be followed up and all that type of thing. You have to be faithful in all those other areas and be planning those other areas. And so I said to God, I don't know what to do here. You need to show me. And so I'm watching TV one night and this advert comes on TV. And the advert comes on with crusty demons. And for those that don't know, the Krusty Demons are a motorbike stunt show. And the reality of it is it's a demonic show promoting hell around the globe, right? Just by their name, just by what they do. And so I went to bed that night and I just like, God, this is wrong. Why does the enemy have this? You know, which is a lie, because the enemy doesn't have all the good stuff, right? God has all the good stuff, all right? Sometimes we just got to find out some more of the good stuff and implement it in the world. And I'm like, God, this is really wrong. We need to do something about it. And so I'm tossing and turning the whole night long. I'm surprised my wife hasn't nudged me or something and sort of say, stop it, you know, you can't get to sleep. And anyway, she slept all the way through it. I had this most restless night I've ever had. I woke up the next morning and I'm like, God, we can actually do something. So I rented the DVDs. I did due diligence because that's what I try and do. I try and study what my opponent is like, right? I look at what they're like. I look at what they do. What's their modus operandi? How are they? How do they work? How do they? What do they think? What is their ethos? What's behind them? Because I'm, you know, that's the way I click. I go along to one of their shows. They start off one of the shows saying there are demons all around you. I'm like thinking, well, technically that's correct, but, you know, there's also angels all around us too. So, you know, let's not concentrate on the demons. But no, they did. It was meant to be a PG show, but basically it was more like an R-rated show. And what got me concerned is all these young kids are coming there and the grandparents are bringing their kids and parents are bringing their kids out and then these kids are walking around with Hell Unleashed Tour and, you know, big skulls and everything else. And I'm thinking, this is just wrong with a capital W. I was going to say capital R, but, you know. And so I determined in my heart that's where I'm going to go. And so I said, okay, God, how am I going to do this? And so God gives me the strategy. He says, you know, I want you to start planning it. I want you to start working on it and everything else. And so, you know, I go talking to some of the teams. So do any guys remember the strongman? Do you remember Jason that was over here, the Kiwi guy, the big guy? He wore these glasses that came over the, you know, two glasses that came over there that were Oakleys or something. And he's 3 times the size of me and could eat me for breakfast. And so anyway, I go to him and I say, hey, Jay, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? Because, you know, I want them to be involved. And first of all, you know, I like to bounce things off others. And so they say, hey, that sounds fantastic. Why don't you stay for dinner? I'm like, okay, why? And he says, well, tonight, the top motocross rider in New Zealand's coming over for dinner. I'm like, oh, okay. That's kind of funny. And so we start talking, and then he says, oh, yeah, look, I know the guy who's got the ramps. He said, yeah, not a problem. You'll be able to borrow the ramps. You know, you just change them and everything else. And I'm like thinking, this is fantastic. We moved to Australia. I'm like, okay, God, well, what are you going to do now? Because, you know, we're now gone to a different nation. And Dave and I, we came together and we said, no, things are just going to start happening when we get to Australia. And so he said, he stayed back and I moved over. And I'm going to church that night because a good friend of mine's, he's a top rapper in New Zealand. He's actually one of the top rappers from down under. And he's a Christian Eminem. I mean, he's just, you know, he's white and he knows how to bust a rhyme, you know. And and so I start talking to him about my plans, and he said, when you do your evangelistic events, he says, I'm part of it. Count me in. I'm like, fantastic. Right? Then he says, why don't you talk to one of the guys that are on our crew? He's actually used to be with the Crusties. He says, yeah, he's a Christian now, and so why don't you talk to him? So I'm like, okay. And you see, all these things have started happening, and then I'm at the gym the other day, and I'm talking to this pastor that I haven't seen for a long time, and I'm like telling him, and he's telling me stuff he's doing, because he's actually one of the ones that are actually doing a lot of evangelistic things down in Australia. And he says, oh yeah, my son does the monster trucks. I'm just like, all right, God, I'm getting the message here. I'm getting the message. So pray. So please bear it in prayer, because we call in Atomic Angels is our show. And we're about to launch. We're going to be called Encounter Events Global. And that's just going to be part of what we're going to do. But we need some serious money. And that's just where it's at. So, you know, just bear me in prayer. Just like a breakthrough, I need a breakthrough in that area too. So, but I'm just getting more and more excited. Why don't you turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. The reason why I'm sharing this is because of this scripture. And this is the kind of word that God put it on my heart, because we need to start contending. We need to start having a passion about what we're here and why we're here on this earth. Right? We need to have a goal and a purpose that we're running to. If we don't have that goal set aside for us, then, you know, we are dwelling aimlessly. And God has a plan for each and every person. I'll start from verse 22. And he rose that night and took his two wives and his two maidservants and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok, or Jabbok or whatever. And then he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint and as he wrestled with him. And he said to him, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What's your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Jacob asked him and saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said to him, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. The reason why I shared what I shared is because I had to go through that time of wrestling with God. And it's time that we start wrestling with God. It's time that we actually start and allowing God to start wrestling with us and start wrestling with our character and start wrestling with what we want to do here in Kingston and wrestling with us what we want to do here in America and around the globe. Because if we're not wrestling with God, then what are we doing? We've got to start getting into the face of God and say, "You know what, God? No matter what it takes, I'm going to hold on." You see, Jacob didn't let go. I mean, if you know anything about fighting, right? I mean, he would have been really tired. I mean, he would have been just, you know, words don't describe what he would have been doing, because the whole night he's fighting with this guy. Right? He doesn't realize it's the Lord until a little bit later on. But again, it shows the fact of Jacob's intent is he doesn't want to let go. And it's the same with us. We don't want to let go of God, do we? We've got to hold on. But the thing is that we've been holding on for quite some time, but God needs to go, right? And put our hip out. God needs to put our hip out, because you know what? We've been walking a certain way, and God wants us to walk a different way. When God's put me in some very funny scenarios. I was with a group of YWAM leaders in New Zealand, and they asked me to come and speak, and I'm just like, okay, this is strange. And so I'm there in front of them, and the word God gives me is, "You have enough people," because there's only 30 people in the room. And I said to them, "You have enough people in this room to take New Zealand." With all the talent there that was in the room, I mean, you know, there was a talented group of people. But they looked at me as though I was, you know, speaking some foreign language. They looked at me as though it was like, "Where are you coming from? What do you mean taking New Zealand? What's it with us here? Are we going to take Kingston or not?" You know, I've been thinking about Kingston Fire, and I actually think it's quite a, you know, it's going to be a movement rather than a name. I mean, you think about it. You want people around the world saying, I want Kingston Fire. I got the Kingston Fire in me, right? Right? I got the Kingston Fire in me. Yeah, I want that. I want that. Then they take whatever it is that they've got from here and they put it into there and they put their own name. But then you start dropping a few syllables off Kingston and I've got the King's Fire, right? You know? But that's what you're creating here. You're creating a movement. You're not just creating a feel-good thing for each other, right? Because if it is, well, then it's kind of like, all right, that's kind of dumb, you know? It's longer serving. It has a purpose to it. You see, you've got to prevail. You've got to press in. It's not just, you know, and it goes through the waves, doesn't it, Steve? Different revivals go through waves. They don't just start off, you know, on this huge big wave and carry on and carry on and carry on and carry on. No, they go up and down and a different set comes, right? And if you're a surfer, you understand that every seventh wave is a larger wave than the one before. And you're always waiting for that seventh to come through, you know, so you can catch that one because that's the biggest one that's coming through. But it comes through in the different waves and you've got to understand the waves and you don't get off your board because the wave is different than the other one that you got. You stay on, you prevail, you wrestle, you say, God, what is this? What is this? See, the whole night through, I was wrestling with him because God was saying he was trying to birth something into my heart and he was trying to say, hey, Pete, you can actually do this. Because you know what? I'm not just doing a show to create a show. It's actually a spiritual action that I want to do. You see, I want to go into the places they've been and I want to reclaim their land. I want to go into the places I know that God's going to use this tool of atomic angels to go into different nations that God's put on my heart. I've said to my wife, I said to her, don't get too comfortable here in Australia because we're moving. I'm actually telling her we're moving this time, right? I says, I don't know when, but I said there is a time that I know that we're going to go over to Japan. There's a time that we're going to go to other nations in Asia. There's a time where we're going to go to Europe. There's a time where we're going to come back here to the States. There's times where we're going to do things. Don't get too comfortable. See, the problem is we get comfortable. And like I started off by saying, is we're spectators. And we can no longer be spectators. We've got to start learning that we're all part of the team. We all each have a role to play. God has placed stuff in every one of your hearts, hasn't he? Giftings and abilities and callings and dreams and visions. But the only person that can actually start walking that out is you. You see, Jacob had to cross the river. He had to go across. He had to go face this man. He could have ran away. He could have said, well, you know, it looks too difficult. You know, it's too tough. Things are not working out at Kingston Fire. Something's happened here or someone said something I don't like and so I'm off now. You know, you've got to get over it. I mean, you know, first of all, get over yourself. You know, I mean, that's just how it is. You know, I remember saying something to God once. And God says, well, actually, I don't think too highly of you either. And I'm like, all right. Okay, enough said, God. And I mean, I love it when he does that to me. You know why? Because the Bible says God disciplines those who he loves. And so I kind of love it. I'm a sucker for punishment. And of course, I'm always under discipline. No, I'm just joking. But the thing is, we have to be driven by passion. Jacob was driven by passion. Now, Jacob he's a high and low man, right? Can't understand Jacob. One minute, you know, he walks in the blessing of God. Next minute, he's serving someone for 14 years and just because he wants a few women and everything else. And you know, he deceives. He gets the anointing from his father, right? He tricks him, and then he gets tricked himself. I mean, he doesn't learn. But the interesting thing is God, though, kicks him in the side, and Jacob now has to walk with a different walk. And it's when you get touched with the revival, when you get touched by God, then you start walking a different walk. You see, your life has to start aligning with what's going on here. Otherwise, it's kind of like a sham. You know, because the wrestle with God was actually a wrestle of character. That's why it took so long, because God was wrestling with Jacob's character. Your character's wrong, Jacob. Right? Bam. Oh, no, it's not. Yes, it is. It's wrong. Right? I mean, that's God doing some low blows. Yeah. I mean, you think about it. I mean, he's wrestling with God, and God's given him a hiding. All right? But it's the same with us. We have to wrestle with God because our character, our things get in the way. Who we are, what we are, you know, your past. Well, sometimes, guys, you've got to leave your past alone. All right? You have to. If I started walking in my past, I'd never be doing what I'm doing. But I leave it alone because I say, you know what? It doesn't matter how I started out in life. It's how I finish, which is the most important. And, you know, there are too many Christians walking around reminding everybody of what their past was, or what this person did to them, or what that person did to them. And look, I know there's some horrific stuff, and sometimes you've got to go through that healing thing and everything else. I'm not excusing all that. I'm not saying that's wrong, because there is a path that you need to walk. But after a while, you've got to start walking in that victory. You've got to start walking with that limp to say, you know what, God, I've wrestled with you, but now I'm victorious. Now my name's been changed. You know, I know that for a fact, that my name was changed, because when I was born, I had a different name. But my parents named me with another name. And so I understand that concept of God changing your name. And I actually looked at the meaning of my other name, and I've looked at the meaning of my name now, and I think both those names would have been fantastic. But the fact of the matter is, both of them are actually characteristics of who I am. But God chose Peter. And I thank him for that. Right? You see, oh, did I do something wrong? Okay. The anointing? Oh. Oh, what? Let's just go for it. Yeah. But you see, Brian prophesied something extremely important. He said there are going to be people coming in from different nations, right? You know, God has a sense of humor. You know, he brings a guy from down under to help and assist, right? Another guy from down under is here now. But you see, it's all part of the plan. You've got to start welcoming other people. You've got to start welcoming people in from other cities and other nations. And then you've got to start planning. All right, how do we go out? What are we going to do? What nations are on our heart? Who do we hit? How are we going to do it? I think it's really important that Vaughan is setting up, and Steve's setting up, this disciple school. Because you know what? Discipling nations and everything else is extremely important when we go into it. But there's a key factor to it as well, is understanding the kingdom. When we understand the kingdom, what that's about, then we can now go with greater power. Because if you understand the kingdom, Jesus said, preach the kingdom of heaven. When you understand what that's about, and what happened in the Garden of Eden was, it's all about the lordship. When they took that fruit, they said that they will become like God. They would understand the lordship. God does not tolerate rivals. He never has, he never will. He could not have Adam and Eve as many gods. Right? It's the same with us when we're going out there preaching. It's the same with us of how we are. It's an issue of lordship. And this guy came to our church and started preaching this, and man, I was in tears because I realized that I was doing things in my life that was not leading, that I was not trusting God. And God just said to me right then and there, he said, Pete, you do not trust me in this area. And I'm like, oh, okay. I said, okay, God, non-issue from now. You see, I have short encounters with God. It's just, if you say it's an issue, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to get it done with. It's not an issue anymore. Because I've learned, if you keep short encounters with God, it causes less stress for you in life. Isn't that great? And so when we go out preaching the kingdom and when we start talking about it, we need to talk about the Lordship of Christ. You see, some people have said to me, why do more people get healed in third world nations than what they do in our first world nations? It's an issue of lordship. The Roman centurion, even though he was under rule from his Caesar, he knew when the King of Kings came to town and the Lord of Lords came to town, he knew who had the authority. You see, all he needed was, he said, I'll send my servant, and he said, Jesus, if you say you can do it, it's done, right? I mean, and Jesus said, hey, look, you know, I haven't seen such faith in the land from other people, probably even his disciples who walk with him every day. It was just a one issue, a one-off wonder, right, for his servant. This foreigner, the enemy of the state, understood the lordship of Jesus Christ. He understood who Jesus was. Even though he's an opposing force, he understood who he was. And so all he had to say is, it's going to be done, that's it. But how many times do we say, oh, it's going to be done, is it Lord? How many times do we then go back to God and start hounding him and start saying, oh, well, yeah, well, I want it done this way, I want it done that way. You see, if we step out of the lordship of Christ, then it's going to be issues all the time. And this guy has described it, and it's actually very true. It's like this. Won't have a show of hands. You've got a president, we've got a prime minister. Same problem in our country is half, some of the people voted for this person, some people voted for that person. All right. The problem with that is I didn't vote for that guy. Do you get where I'm coming from? You see, it's not an issue of the fact that God raises leaders up. He appoints them. And it's not an issue of that. It's an issue of, why should I listen to that guy? I didn't even vote for them. Why should I do what that person says? I mean, you know? And that's our issue. And so when people come along and say, look, you can be healed, you're like, well, why should I listen to you? I mean, it hasn't worked this time, so what's going to happen now? Right? I can always go to my doctor. I can always get a second opinion or a third opinion, or I can go to my friends now. But the issue of the lordship of Jesus Christ is, if you said that I'm going to be healed, then I'm healed. That's it. End of story. No other discussion. And it's like that when we go out in the streets. It's who's going to be Lord? It's an issue of lordship that's happening throughout this whole nation and our nation and other nations around the world. It's who's going to be Lord at the end of the day? And so when you take out the fire, when you go there with Kingston Fire, you're going to start talking to people about the lordship of Jesus Christ and who he actually is. You see, because you cannot contend with the lordship. You can't fight with it, you can't argue it, you can't if it, you can't but it. The lordship of Jesus Christ is, if you say it, Lord, I'll do it. But so many people give lip service, and God's sick of it. He is absolutely sick of it. And what he's doing is he's raising people up. And he's saying, okay, I'll deal with this people here because these people here, their word is their bond. You see, I have kind of old values. If I give someone my word, if I say I'm actually going to be there, I will be there. I'll move, well, I can't really move heaven and hell, but, you know, I'll move whatever I can to be there. Because, you know, a friend of mine, we kind of said, man, Christians are liars. It's just like, you know, oh, I'll have you over for tea. Yeah, hey, we'll get together, we'll have dinner. All right. Year goes past, 2 years goes past, 3 years goes past. You know, a pastor keeps saying to me, it was church I go to, and he keeps saying, oh, look, you know, how you doing? Yeah, we must get together. I've decided next time he says it, I'm going to say, could you stop lying to me? Because every time you say we're going to get together, my expectation is that's what we're going to do. You see, you've got to be a man of character, a person of character. If, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I most often say no, but I'll turn up. Right? I'll say, oh, look, yeah, not too sure if I can. But then I decide unto myself, I decide unto my heart. All right, I want to go there. And that's what we need to do. We need to start contending with our heart. We need to start making these decisions. We need to start saying, God, I want to wrestle with you. I want to have that fight. I want to go. I want to grab whatever you got. I'm going to be a person of character. I'm going to be a person that people can trust, people can depend on. And then I also want to be a person that says that Jesus is my Lord. And when he says go, I go. Because I've recognized in my life that I am just a soldier. I do what he says. There is no discussion about it. But the cool thing is, this is what I love about God. He has my best interests in heart. Right? There is no fear that he's going to send me somewhere that I don't want to go. Because that's just Christian nonsense. All right? He always has my best interests at heart. He has the right person for you. He has the right job for you. He has the right place where you go. He has the right place where you live. And you don't need to walk in fear at all when you start following him, when you start walking in him. You see, we've got to get out of the fear and start realizing that God has our best interests at heart. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do with this fire? Where are you going to take it? Are you going to contend in your heart that you're actually going to do something with this? Or is this just a nice pep rally? I mean, come on, guys. We have to get serious. We have to realize. I said to Vaughn the other day, I said, Vaughn, before I came, I haven't had this happen to me, but Lord spoke to me about a time issue. And I said, because God knows how I feel about time and different things. Just to back it up and explain, I've heard so many prophets and people sort of say, you know, in 2 years' time this is going to happen, in 3 years' time that'll happen, in 10 years' time this is going to happen, and then, you know, all this is coming, and, you know, all the end times and everything else and stuff. And I'm like, okay. Nothing kind of ever happens the way they say it's going to happen, right? And I'm like, so God, I says, you know, whenever I talk on, you know, end time stuff or anything else like that, that you tell me to talk on, then I'm going to talk on, generalities. I'll sort of say, hey, it's happening, you know, and give a broad brushstroke. But before I came, God said to me very clearly, and I'm like freaking here, God said, Pete, the next 10 years is absolutely crucial. And I'm like, what? I said, God, don't give me a time. Come on. But he said, no, the next 10 years is absolutely crucial, and it's crucial in three areas. So I said, well, what are those three areas? He said, your time. What you do with your time. He said, for years and years and years, I've given you all the gift of time. But for many of you, you've just squandered it and wasted it, and you're carrying on doing what you want to do. He said, no longer will you be able to do what you want to do because time is short, getting short, right? Second one, he said, your finances, what you do with your finances is extremely important. What you start investing in, what you start putting your finances in, what you start saying, okay, God, I'm going to birth this, I'm going to support this. You see, Kingston Fire can only run so far. Because it's going to need some finances. And it will need some serious dough behind it. Right? It'll need some serious money. If you want to reach places and reach cities and reach nations, it's going to cost you hundreds of thousands, if not millions. And you need to start getting over that and start investing into it. Because there's no greater investment than investing into people's lives. It is an extreme privilege to be able to invest into somebody's life. Because the return is incredible. Because you know what? I've never looked at the return here on earth. I look at the return in heaven. Because I'm not worried about what I get here on earth with the investment that I put into people. I get concerned about what I'm storing up. Because I'm like, okay, God, if I'm going to be concentrated on things on earth about that, then my mind's going to get off the task, off the goal. The third one was the resources. In other words, what's in your hand? What gifts and abilities? What callings have you got? What motivates you? What drives you? What turns you on, basically? Not in a sexual way. I'm talking about what really gets you going. And those three areas are important in this next 10 years. I don't know why. I'm not saying something's going to happen in this, you know, at the end of the 10 years. I'm not saying, you know, all this thing's going to, you know. But what I do know is this. I've been looking around the world. This global economic crisis has now caused a new era, a new day, because everyone's talking about a global currency. We know where that's heading, right? Okay. We know that they can't do it straight away, so you don't need to live in fear. But it is coming. So, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, if things are coming, and it could be 20, 30, 40 years down the track, could be longer, could be shorter, I'm not going to say a time, but they're coming. Then what am I saving up for? I mean, my retirement plan is just gone. I mean, it's true. You've got to start thinking more eternal. What really spurred this on was another ad on TV. I like TV ads. They tell me what to buy. I'm only joking. But this ad actually shocked me. This was an ad for Kit Kat. You know the Kit Kat bars? Yeah, all right. Good. I'm watching this ad. So the ad starts going on, and you've got a checkout operator, and he's buzzing things across the scanner, right? Then next minute, he picks up a watermelon and buzzes it across his forehead. And he does a number of items right across his forehead, and he's making the boop. And I'm thinking, what agent thought of that? Right? I couldn't believe this. I told friends about it. They're like, I've never seen the ad. I said, well, you know, I didn't say to them, keep watching TV. I just said, you know, you'll see it. And they've seen it, and they're like, I'm shocked. And I'm like, yes. Because it's a signal to say things are coming. It's a signal to say that in Revelations it talks about this coming. It talks about a number system, and you cannot do anything unless you receive the mark, which is on your forehead, which this ad agent obviously knows something about his Bible, right? But I thought, what's the purpose of that ad? The purpose of that ad is to desensitize us, to just think, oh, that's just a joke, it's just Kit Kat, oh, well, it's not that bad, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? It's spurred me on. I've started to wrestle with God over this. This is my wrestle with him, because I'm saying, okay, God, this means things are happening. We don't need to be scared about it. We don't need to be freaked out about it. But we just need to be aware, right? We need to be aware. So if we're working on stuff with Kingsdom Fire, we need to be aware that we have a time issue, right? We only have a certain amount of time. Now, none of us knows how long, right? It's true. Otherwise, we'll be fortune tellers, and you can call me, and I'll be picking your lotto numbers and everything else. Right, so we don't know that. But you see, at the end of the day, your money is going to be gone. At the end of the day, you will not be able to draw on your bank account. At the end of the day, that's what's going to happen. But then it'll be too late for you to think, oh, gee, if I only invested into what they're doing, if I only invested into this, or I only invested into Atomic Angels, if I only invested into other things, right? You see, for me, it's just spurred me on now, because now I think to myself, maybe I've only got 20 years left. If I've only got 20 years left, then I need to get serious. I need to start planning things. I need to start building people around me. I need to have a goal. I need to have a purpose. I've got to now start walking different. Because, guys, we've lived the good life. We've lived the life that's kind of said, hey, you know what, it doesn't really matter, God, if you do this and do that, you know, well, we've got all the time in the world. Well, you don't. It's as simple as that. I said to Vaughn, two movies that I really loved, I think you call it The Vacation over here. We call it The Holiday down under, right, with Queen Latifah. You know, yeah, you know the movie. And The Bucket List, right, yeah. I said to him, I like those two movies because these are two movies that are basically saying, what if? What are you going to do with what's in your hand if you've only got a short amount of time? What are you actually going to do? See, your life all of a sudden takes a different purpose to it, doesn't it? See, if you think to yourself, hey, I've only got 15, 20 years, maybe 30 years left, then you've got to do something about it. It could be shorter, guys. So what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to talk rhetoric all the time? Are we just going to go rah, rah, rah? Or are we going to say, we need to reach Kingston. We need to get behind Vaughn and Steve. And Sharon? Sure. Yeah. Her name? How do you say your name? Cher. Oh, okay. Just like Cher. Cool. Yeah. You guys live by faith, right? All right. You need to get behind them. You see, I've lived by faith and it sucks. It sucks because Christians do not be obedient to what God's actually asked them to do. And so you suffer for it because next minute you're having to pray, you know, 5 hours longer because the money's not coming in for the bills. Or you have to live or your teeth get rotten because all of a sudden you can't afford to do that. So I'm telling you, in a place, in a country that is so prosperous, this couple should not be living by faith. They should be fully supported. You need to get behind them and say, you know what, if we're serious about reaching Kingston, if we're serious about doing stuff, then you need to start getting serious about your finances. You need to start realizing we need to start investing. Now, how do we invest into people? Well, don't their fruits show it? They haven't asked me to say this. But you need to start doing it, guys, because I tell you what, it's not just these guys. I'm talking about other people. Whatever God puts on your heart, you need to start learning now that God's going to look at the next three things and how you spend your time, your resources, and your finances in this next 10 years, and it will carry you on. That was the word that he gave me. He said it was going to carry you on to times ahead. But you see, if I'm disobedient to what God's called me to do, and I waste the time, and I don't put money in, and I don't put resources in, then at the end of this time period, God's just going to say, well, I thought I asked you to do something, right? Remember, we have to be obedient. These are very, I mean, look, seriously, these are times that are precious. These are times that are getting short. And I didn't intend on talking about end time stuff. But I'm just saying, you know, you got to get passionate about something. I mean, you know, if it's passionate about going out on the streets, go out on the streets with all gusto, right? Get out there. Get teams around you. You know what's happening with me now in Australia? I mean, I arrived in Australia, you know, a lot of people don't know me over there, and some people do. So I'm in this mixture. But God's brought different people along my path. And all of a sudden, I'm meeting a new breed of people. And it's like, this is exciting. And I'm just like, God, what do you do next? Because this is actually getting really exciting. And these are like-minded people. And these are people who are talking about discipling. They're actually putting into motion things that I can't do myself physically, but I know that we'll be working together. Because you know what? I can't do it on my own. I need a team. And God's providing a team. And the same is here. God's going to provide teams. And you'll have other people in other ministries to come along and join in and partner with what you're doing here. And you've got to be big enough and handsome enough, right, to accept those that are coming in, right? You go to the Lord. You say, Lord, is this the right person to deal with? You know, I mean, a crude expression is this. Is this a person I jump into bed with, basically, right? But that's kind of how it is. It's kind of like, are we meant to be kind of like this? Or, you know, do you want us apart? And God will show you. But God is going to fill your lack because he's always faithful to do so. But the fact of the matter is, what are you going to contend with? That's why I started off with the breakthrough, because we need to break through. We need to start breaking through and breaking into Kingston, right? And then next minute, it's going to be somewhere else. The next minute, it's somewhere else. And you continue on. And each time is going to get harder. Not easier. Because there's going to be different giants in the land to face. The other lie, I just want to quickly address this, is this next move of God is going to be youth movement. All right, that's a complete lie. You know, God, whenever he moves upon everybody, young, old, you know. My Bible tells me this all the way through. I get so annoyed because I'm like, well, God, that's not fair. I'm not young anymore. Well, I want to be, but just humanly possible can't be, you know. So I try and dress a little younger. And then my kids are like, Dad, you're 45, come on. You know, it's like, okay, all right, you know. It's a tough struggle. I'm still somewhere back there. But you see, God always moves upon every generation. You see, we look at, we use that example, the children of Israel, God destroyed that generation, so that's how the way how God. No, that was not God's plan, right? They wanted meat. They shouldn't have had it, right? They should have known it was a desert. You didn't have fridges. You didn't have anything else that would keep the meat good. And so they got the bird flu, right? And died. First case of bird flu, children of Israel, right? A rather bad case for many. You see, I think some of you just got it. Oh, is the accent threw it off? Okay. But you see, don't swallow that lie. You see, God's got something for an 80-year-old. He's got something, and older, right? He's got something for a 15 and a 10-year-old and a 9-year-old and 8-year-old. He's got plans for each and every one of us. Right? I mean, unfortunately, this has been recorded, but don't tell Vaughn this. But, I've looked at Vaughn, and I'm like, man, you're 60. I mean, you don't seem 60 to me at all. I mean, he doesn't. He seems like a young man. Yeah. I'm only saying that because I'm staying at your house. But I'm like thinking, man, if when I get to 60, I hope I'm, I'm sprightly like that too, right? He still goes to the gym, which is a good thing. But you see, God doesn't say, okay, you've now reached the cutoff age, and so now I can't work in your life anymore. So let's not swallow that lie, all right? God is about to move on this earth in a powerful way, young, old, slave, free, rich, poor, he's about to move. The question God is saying to you is, what are you going to do with the three? How are you going to do it? Are you going to start investing? Yeah, it's pretty serious. It's gone quiet now. You see, because all of a sudden you realize your life savings, one day you ain't going to be able to access them. You know, imagine that. One day, when Jesus returns and we meet with him in the clouds and get changed, you can't just say, oh, whoops, can I have a second go? My motto has always been, and I'll finish on this, my motto has always been, you have one life, that's it. It's not a rehearsal. This is it. It's as good as it gets. But what I do with my life, I can make a difference. And that's one of the blessings God gives each and every one of us, is he gives you free will to choose what you want to do with your life. He gives you that free will. He says, okay, Pete, you can do anything you want, right? It's up to you. How far, how deep, how wide I want to go is up to me. God will not hold me back. Because he says, Pete, you want to run here? And so long as it's according to his will, absolutely. I'll run this far. And he says, Pete, if you want to do this, I'll say, okay, that's not a problem. I'll run over here. You see, a lot of the times we get really, you know, what does God want for me? It's like, come on, guys. Sometimes God just says, you choose. You just go for it. Hey, you know, get some gumption. You know, get a backbone. Start saying, okay, God, you know what? Even if it's the wrong thing, I'll learn from it. I'll carry on and I'll step out into the right thing. It's not a problem. Keep your short accounts with God. Yeah. It makes life less stressful. Yeah. Why don't we pray? Why don't we just stand on our feet right now and just say, this guy's had the best sermon he ever had. Lying there on the floor. Why don't we just take some time between you and God? Because you know what, I can't conjure anything up, and I wouldn't want to anyway. But why don't you just take some time to reflect on those three things and ask God, say, God, what do you want to do with my time? What shall I do with my time? What shall I do with my resources? And what shall I do with my finances? They're three very serious questions. So why don't we just take some time now and just ask him. Father, we just want to come before you, Lord. And God, we don't want to make this into a really tough thing, but Father, we just pray with the full knowledge, Lord, that you are so faithful to us. With the full knowledge that, Lord, you have our best interests at heart. But Lord, we do repent from our selfishness. We repent of trying to do it our own way. We repent, Lord, of not looking to your lordship. Father, we really do want to make you Lord of our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you don't just say, well, just get rid of everything straight away. You actually give us time to get through stuff. You're so patient with us. But Lord, I know the heart's cry from every person here is to say that you are Lord. You're the boss. You're the master. You're the chief. The big honcho. And Dad, we love you. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that we can leave here changed. That, Lord, that we can leave here determined that we're going to start wrestling with you. that, Lord, we want an answer. And so we're not going to rest till we get that answer. Hallelujah. That's fine. Praise your glorious name, Lord. Thank you, Father.